Dear friends in Christ, may you experience the blessings and peace of God as we gather in the spirit of God's great presence among us this Palm Sunday morning, the 5th of April, 2020. May we all be reassured, as Paul tells us in Romans chapter 8, verse 16, that God's great spirit joins himself to our spirits to declare that we are in fact God's children. And as verse 17 tells us, since we are his children, we will possess the blessings he keeps for his people, and we will also possess with Christ what God has kept for him. For if we share Christ's suffering, we will also share his glory. And as Psalm 46, verse 1 reassures us, we know that God is our shelter and strength, always ready to help us in times of trouble. I have appreciated the many telephone conversations I've shared with many of you, as I hope to have many other conversations with others in our fellowship in the weeks ahead. You've shared with me many of the tender moments you've experienced with loved ones, especially with the littlest among your families and friends, as they have often had difficulty understanding the new social order we are called to maintain. Several of your grandchildren find themselves jabbering a mile a minute across the lawn or from inside the car, for they have so very much they wish to share and so little time to catch up. Others of the youngest among us are kissing the window pane or placing their hand with yours on the opposite side of the glass, expressing their great desire to be close with those whom they love so very much, those whom they can't hug during these unusual times of social distancing. Many of you as parents are describing the challenge of helping your children with their studies during these days of homeschooling. One parent among us has declared, "I'm feeling smarter already." Several days ago, another member of our congregation discovered something with a greater value than cash, for a package of toilet paper was handed over to a relative in desperate need as payment in full for a few laborious tasks accomplished around the house. Several of you have wondered if you've become glued to the couch, as it has become your all-too-familiar companion while trying to keep up with the unfolding concerns brought on by this worldwide pandemic. But I realize that most of you are faring out well as we all strive to adapt to the requirements of this stay-at-home order that now affects vast portions of our nation as we allow this virus to pass. We especially lift up in prayer the many so significantly affected by this illness, as we also pray for and support the medical teams, the first responders, and the civic leaders on the front lines of this pandemic, while we are also mindful of the needs of millions dealing with furloughs and often the complete loss of employment. We realize that the difficulties have not yet peaked, but we know with certainty that there will be an end as we all abide by the guidelines in place and await the dawn of a new day. For our scripture reading, we turn to the verse that begins where last Sunday's scripture left off. We look at John chapter 19, the first portion of verse 30, as Jesus drank the cheap wine and said, "It is finished." May we pray. Merciful and loving God, as your Son and our Lord Jesus Christ declared, "It is finished," we know that he declared the completion of your great plan as he became the final sacrificial lamb through whom the sins of humanity are forgiven. For his willingness to see your plan achieved even to its very agonizing end, we are grateful. For we realize that even though we in our human predicaments may suffer many challenges, the redemption of our souls is of greatest importance and is accomplished through Christ, who is our Lord and Savior forevermore. Thanks be to God. Amen. With this Sunday being Palm Sunday, we may wonder, why are we not waving palm branches? Instead, we continue to dwell upon the cross of Christ. Over the past 5 years of my ministry with all of you, we've given a good measure of attention to the meaning behind Palm Sunday, Lambing Day. We remember that it is the day in which the Jewish people selected the lamb used in the Passover meal on the following Thursday evening. After previous Easters, we have also explored the wonderful experience of Jesus' presence among his followers for the 40 days after his resurrection and before his ascension. But during this year's Lenten season, we have been exploring the seven last words of Jesus as he hung upon the cross, and hoping this may help each of us gain a greater appreciation for what Christ really went through for our spiritual benefit. And even as we'll still be at the cross this coming Easter Sunday morning, I hope you'll agree with me that it is only when we truly experience the depth of Christ's great suffering that we'll genuinely appreciate the full power of his resurrection for our benefit. In the first 3 weeks of this seven-week series, we experienced Jesus' great compassion for us, others, as he sought God's forgiveness for those responsible for his crucifixion, promised the penitent thief the gift of paradise, and assigned the care of his mother Mary to his beloved apostle John. In the fourth week, Jesus cried out his sense of abandonment as he genuinely felt separation from God while he carried the full weight of humanity's sinfulness. We discovered that sin and even Hades itself is truly separation from God, and separation from God's purity and righteousness. Last week, when Jesus declared, "I thirst," we understood he needed something to quench his parched mouth and lips, for he wanted to shout out his final pronouncement to the watchful crowd and ultimately shout it out to all future generations. With sympathy for Jesus, a centurion who was charged with carrying out Jesus' death sentence picked up a stick of hyssop. It was the same wood used centuries earlier to spread the blood of the lamb on the door frames to save believers during the Hebrews' first Passover. The centurion tied his sponge to the hyssop stick and dipped it into his ration of cheap wine. He then lifted the meager drink to the parched lips of our Lord. Then Jesus declares in a loud voice the words of John 19, verse 30, "It is finished." Jesus declares a great victory in three simple words. He knows in his heart, and he pronounces to the world that he has done everything that God had asked him to do. And now the balance of God's plan for the salvation of humanity will unfold through his death, his resurrection, and his ascension into heaven. We remember that Jesus said early in his ministry in John chapter 6, verse 38, "I have come down from heaven to do not my own will, but the will of him who sent me." We remember that Jesus said to Zacchaeus in Luke chapter 19, verse 10, that the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. We remember in John chapter 17, verse 4, as Jesus was praying in the garden before his arrest, he said to God, "I have shown your glory on earth. I have finished the work you gave me to do." And now the text of Hebrews chapter 10, verse 12 will come true. Christ offered one sacrifice for sins, an offering that is effective forever. And then he sat down at the right side of God. And as verses 13 and 14 continue, there he now waits until God puts his enemies as a footstool under his feet. With one sacrifice, then, he has made perfect forever those who are purified from sin. And the Apostle Paul will write in Romans chapter 3, verse 25, that God offered Christ so that by his death he should become the means by which people's sins are forgiven through their faith in him. Jesus actually speaks in the language familiar to Jewish people in his day, Aramaic. And many biblical scholars believe the expression Jesus uses to declare "it is finished" is a passive form of the word shalom, translated into English as peace. In the passive form, Jesus is saying, peace has been accomplished. There is always a measure of anxiousness as any of us are striving to work through all the details and tasks to complete an important endeavor. Yet what a great sense of relief, a great peace that can come over us as everything is completed. Thus, in Jesus' native language, it is finished, is most aptly expressed as peace is accomplished. It is only in John's Gospel that Jesus' declaration, it is finished, is expressed. John's Gospel was written and conveyed to Christian believers in the Greek language, which was the language of commerce and travel in New Testament times. In the Greek language, Jesus' words, it is finished, are translated with a single word. And in the financial enterprises of the day, this single word was stamped on certificates of debt when those debts were paid off. Translated into our modern English, this single Greek word is a verb. It is an action word that translates into a three-letter phrase that is often stamped onto loans that are paid in their entirety. Those three familiar words are paid in full. We know what it's like to feel the burden of a financial contract for a small consumer good or an automobile, and especially if it is for something much larger, like a home or a family business. And yet after we've disciplined ourselves to make payment after payment after payment, finally, after many years, we receive that original contract in the mail, and now it bears the stamp in bold red ink, paid in full. There's a great joy, and a significant burden is lifted as we see those beautiful bold red letters, paid in full. But yet, car and house payments are temporal in nature. We know that these loans can't follow us into the hereafter. But what Christ accomplished transcends our physical and temporary existence. Christ paid in full the debt of our sinfulness that separates each of us and all of humanity from God. And as we look even deeper into the Greek word the Apostle John so carefully chose to use in this verse of John 19, verse 30, we see that paid in full is actually written in the Greek perfect tense. And this perfect tense, it refers not simply to the action of something that took place in the past. It also refers to something that is in effect today. It's like declaring a law that is effective not only today to correct some wrongdoing of the past, but it corrects what may happen in the future. And in the case of Jesus' declaration, paid in full means that humanity's indebtedness to God caused by our sinful nature is paid in full in the past, in the present, and even into the future. The text of Hebrews chapter 10, verse 10, which I've mentioned several times through this series, still stands as a monument to Christ's achievement for humanity for all time. Because Jesus Christ did what God wanted him to do, we are all purified from sin by the offering that he made of his own body once and for all. And even as we continue to face the burdens of our unusual times, may it fill our souls and minds with great joy to realize on this Palm Sunday morning, on this Lambing Day, that the full weight of sin has been lifted off of us and is borne by Christ on the cross. For Jesus declared to humanity that the debt is paid in full. Blessings to each of you as we continue to keep in touch by every means available to us. I am genuinely grateful for the many ways so many have cared for others. Please call the church office at 816-436-4000. 0462 if you need assistance. And let's remember that Katie Turner, on her mobile number of 402-202-3229, is willing to organize those able to make grocery and pharmacy runs for those among us who are homebound. Please remember that appointments for the food pantry are available on Tuesdays and Thursdays. Your tithes and offerings received through the mail have been a significant blessing as we strive to maintain the salaries, utilities, and other obligations of our fellowship, as we patiently wait for the day when we will rejoice in the privilege to assemble once again in the Lord's house. On Easter Sunday morning, April 12th, we will explore the final word of the seven last words of Jesus in the text of Luke chapter 23, verses 46 through 49, where Jesus turns his full attention toward God as he cries out in a loud voice, "Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit." On Easter Sunday, we will see that Jesus models for us complete surrender into the loving arms of God, through which we experience the full blessing of God's salvation. Until we share God's word again, the blessing and peace of God be with you.